This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get started with headlines. Well, the news continues out of Cleveland. More trades. Danny Shelton, former Husky defensive tackle, traded to the New England Patriots. It looks like the Patriots gave up a third-round pick in 2019. A fifth-round pick from the Browns goes over to the New England Patriots. So Danny Shelton now on the defensive line of the New England Patriots. Brad Wing, a punter, he was just cut today by the New York Jets. Now, of course, yesterday, speaking of releases, Richard Sherman released by the Seahawks. Jeremy Lane released by the Seahawks. Sherman is visiting the San Francisco 49ers, had dinner with them last night. He's already heard from about five or six teams, but San Francisco is the first place that, you know, he took a visit to, so that's already in the cards. And then, of course, more news coming up as far as Cleveland Browns yesterday. They traded for Jarvis Landry. They traded for Tyrod Taylor. They traded for Demarius Randall, a cornerback out of Green Bay. In that trade, they sent DeShone Kizer over to the Green Bay Packers. Then the Carolina Panthers involved. They picked up a wide receiver, a decent one. What they had to give up was a Darrell Worley, a cornerback. So that trade happened. So it was just wild. There's already been 11 trades in the National Football League. Last year at the start of free agency, there was about five, with two coming in the second day. So it has just been a madhouse. Stay tuned. Of course, more things are happening. Decisions have to be made. Free agency starts on Wednesday. Last night, Seattle U losing in the tournament to New Mexico State, 84-79. So that ends their season. But, of course, it's been a great season. 20 wins for Seattle U. That has been fantastic. And those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. But we don't have Dave Grosby right now, so let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Doing good. How about you?
Doing great.
Hey, I got two questions for you.
Yeah.
So, first, I was a quarterback in high school in the 70s.
Okay.
And things were simple. Our call signs were green and blue. If we called gold, it was an audible. And the holes to the right were 1357. Holes to the left were 2468. So at least twice a game, I would come up and the tackles would be on the outside of my guards and the ends would be on the outside of my ends. So the only person in between me and the middle linebacker, there was no one. So I would call it, and we would run a quarterback sneak, and I never made less than 5 or 10 yards. So my question is, how can the caliber of Ben Roethlisberger not have a chance to call an audible being a professional quarterback?
It could be one of the reasons that you do see an offensive coordinator change in Pittsburgh right now, because, again, he should have the ability to do this. He's a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. I mean, he was, I think, 18 of 19 in his career on those type of plays on quarterback sneaks, and he should have the ability, just reading what's there on the defense, to be able to make a call like that. But Todd Haley can be very stubborn. Todd Haley likes to have control. Ben Roethlisberger likes to have control. I think the surprising part is that they had now been together for a couple of years, and we now found out he didn't have that type of power, and that surprises me.
Okay, me too. I was just incredulous when
it isn't. And again, it's, you can see at the end of the year, I mean, I've known Todd covering the Steelers. I know him when he was a ball boy. And so now, you know, he's always been good with me, but also he can be very stubborn with us. And I thought that the relationship at the very beginning was going to be stormy. It turned out not to be, but to find out that Ben, as hard as he can be, you know, as far as what he wants to do, because Ben's Ben, you know, Ben does what Ben wants to do. I was stunned to find out that he couldn't call audibles.
Yeah, I was just stunned too. Okay, my second question is, 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. Why do they not just put two of the biggest linemen in the backfield and let them push the quarterback on a quarterback sneak?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to be able to stop that.
Yeah.
So how come nobody does that?
Well, there's a couple teams that'll take a defensive tackle. I mean, remember, because Michael Perry was the one who was the first one. Michael Dean Perry was the first that really kind of got that going. And, you know, there's times where they'll do it, but it doesn't seem to be, you know, in vogue as much. I think, you know, because I think what happens now is that, you know, and go back to your quarterback days, what happens when you get to the 1 yard line? I mean, you know, they're going to kind of stack the box without any question, but that means man coverage. And of course, I bring this up sadly here in Seattle because, I mean, you watch the man coverage in that game against the Super Bowl, in the Super Bowl against New England. You know, they drew man and that drew them into a passing play. And it seems like the mentality of the current coordinators around the league is that if you can get that man coverage, you want to take advantage of it with the quarterback throwing as opposed to the quarterback running or the running back running. And I think that, you know, they do probably need to go back and take the analytics and see why not just take the simple thing of just powering it up the middle, knowing that, you know, you're not going to lose much.
Yeah, you can't, they can't, you can't, to me, you can't stop that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just let the initial rush go in and then let those big guys come and push it, nobody's going to stop you for 1 yard.
Right.
Okay.
Hey, well, thank you for calling. Good call, Mike.
Yeah, I've listened to you a long time. First time caller.
Well, I appreciate that.
Thank okay, you. Have a great day.
All righty. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Tony in Seattle. Hey, Tony.
Hey, John. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Good, man. Hey, beautiful day here in Seattle.
It really is. Looks like it's going to be fantastic. It gives you kind of the preview of spring, and then, you know, the great part is tonight we get to turn the clocks back.
Oh, well, I'm not looking forward to that.
Why
but
not?
Anyway. Hey, two quick questions. I've always thought that LeGarrette Blount would be a great fit for running back here.
Mm-hmm.
All the guy does is win Super Bowls. He kind of runs like Marshawn a little bit. I thought he was going to be a free agent this year. Can you
he is a free agent.
Of LeGarrette Blount and any chance that the Seahawks could get him here? Also, could you add some clarity to Malik McDowell? To me, it's one of the biggest mysteries in the world.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure what his injury was. Does he have a chance of coming back? And I'll take those two questions off the air.
Okay, so first off, as far as, you know, on Malik McDowell, you know, he's got, you know, head injury and kind of concussion problems, and there's still a decent chance that he may not be able to come back. I think that's going to be, you know, one of the big issues. I mean, still, you hold out hope that he can come back, but there's not going to be any guarantee. And so that's one of the sad stories that, you know, they put a second-round pick in there. I guess the fortunate thing is they made, you know, a couple trades to get four additional draft choices and a couple good players out of those draft choices by trading down from 26 to 35. So, you know, that's one of the issues that is there right now for them. But, you know, overall, I mean, you look at this team and, you know, some things are going to work, some things are not going to work. You know, the Sherman thing was, you knew that something was going to happen. You just didn't think it was going to be this dramatic. And now it's a matter of just kind of patching things together. Hey, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Dante in Lake Stevens. Hey, Dante.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm just now tuning into the show, and I was wondering, what is your honest, like, if you had to guess, do you think we'd really be pretty good this year?
I still think they're going to be pretty decent. You know, I know in the last call he brought up about the running backs and what to do with LeGarrette Blount. And, you know, he's an option because he's going to be a reasonably priced option. You know, but here's the question I even throw to you. It's like, would you rather see John? Because, again, I think the idea is it's probably better to pick up either a low-priced guy just as an insurance because this is a great running back draft and you can get the running enough draft choices to, you know, be able to get the second and third round in there, you can get a good running back. So I think, you know, whether it's Jonathan Stewart, DeMarco Murray, LeGarrette Blount, I mean, all those guys would be candidates because you want that big back. I think I would not be surprised if in the next couple of days, Jonathan Stewart, if he's willing to sign for the minimum salary, I think he could be one of those options. But I still think the team can be good. I mean, is it going to be a Super Bowl team? Probably not. They've stepped back from that. I mean, when you take a defense that had eight Pro Bowl guys on their defense that have been to the Pro Bowl and you cut it down to maybe as few as three, I mean, that's a big adjustment. You're not going to be as good. You can't be as good. But still, the system works. The quarterback's good. You know, I still think they can sort some things out on the offensive line. You know, they have Doug Baldwin. Tyler Lockett's still pretty good. And again, they haven't made the moves to acquire guys yet because they haven't had the opportunity, but they will.
Right, right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Who do we have on the line, Matt? Let's go to Paul. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hey, John, good. I have a question about, you know, what the identity of this next year's team is going to be. You know, usually I think what we've seen, what Pete and John like is, you know, a really strong running game. And it's obviously, you know, our defense has been incredible and punchy in the mouth and really control the clock. And it seems like this year at least, we don't have the athletes to actually have that sort of defense again where we can, you know, really stop teams like we used to. And it seems also like on the offensive side, we're not going to have the line and probably not the running back to actually control the tempo that way. And so I'm wondering what you think, you know, sort of the identity of this team is going to be like, because even last year with our passing offense, you know, some games Russell would go off for 450 yards. Other games he'd have, you know, 45 yards passing at the half. So I'm curious to hear what you think, what, you know, it's sort of going to look like as far as identity goes.
Well, I mean, the identity I think you can picture because they're going to try to go back to the identity that they have. They want a power running game. They want to cut down on the scramble type of plays because, again, that just did not work to their benefit. And so Brian Schottenheimer's mandate is to come in here and try to find a way to run the ball. You know, they've changed offensive line coaches, and you've got a more physical type of a line blocking with Mike Solari. So now the question is going to be, how's that going to fit in with the backs? I mean, you know that, you know, that's why I think they're going to be intrigued by a DeMarco Murray. Certainly they're intrigued enough that they brought Jonathan Stewart in, 240 pounds. You know, they're kind of in the draft, I think they're looking for a Marshawn Lynch type of back. Now, again, you can't recapture Marshawn Lynch, but I think they want to get that style. You know, certainly they want to have play action passes. They're always going to be an offense that's going to try to minimize the interceptions and turnovers. I mean, that's a mandate from Pete. I mean, what Pete did is, sure, he changed eight coaches. But what he didn't do is change his philosophy. His philosophy and vision is to run the football, power football, being able to eat up some of the clock, have a defense that can come in there with good coverage in the secondary, good pass rush. And so now what they're doing is they're taking some of the aged guys and high salary guys off the roster and now trying to build things back and get some younger players. Remember, this is what he did at USC. This is what he started out doing here. He's not afraid to play young players. And so now the door is open with the spots. Because remember, when you look at the way the defense has been configured, I mean, for pretty much 6 years, there was, you know, only like three or four openings because you have a core group of seven guys that ate up the spots. And so you can draft to certain positions, but they may not be able to get on the field because the defense was so stacked. Age caught up. Now they have to pay a little bit of a price. Now we'll see how they adjust.
Thanks, Joe. I got one other quick question, if possible.
Go ahead.
So I agree with what you're saying, but I feel like the strength of our team now is no longer in those things that Pete really values, such as defense and the run game. And really the only strength that we have that I'd say is a real strength is in Russ and Doug and the chemistry those guys have in our passing offense. I see a little bit of a conflict there.
The idea is that you know, they've got to find that type of back. Or remember, they do like Chris Carson, they do like Mike Davis, but they certainly need to add one more to that mix or two more to that mix, whatever that's going to be. So again, what you're judging right now is the incomplete package, because what you're seeing is what's being downsized. And you're right, I mean, the emphasis now goes over to offense, but then, you know, what happens on offense? I mean, you have one of the five best quarterbacks in the league, and that plays a big role.
Yep. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Buzz in California. Hey, Buzz.
Hey, John. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Hey, I've been out of town for a little bit. I live up there. I'm just down here doing my job.
Okay.
I heard tidbits, and I kind of got caught up a little bit from your comments to the last caller, but I heard about Bennett. I don't know the details. Obviously, I heard about Sherman. That's all over the news down here. What's going on? What do you think? Given a little bit more perspective, what is going
to... Well, the anticipated kind of breakup to try to get to a younger team, cleaning up some cap issues, and, basically trying to get a little bit of a get the old voice back on this team. And so what you're probably going to see is as many as six starters not there on defense. I mean, a couple of those things were misfortune. I mean, Cliff Averill and Cam Chancellor, I mean, that's misfortune because of bad necks. Then you had the Achilles injury that they wanted to not pay, $11 million this year for Richard Sherman. And so they asked him to take a pay cut. He said no. Now he's on the street. Michael Bennett, I think that they looked at age and that, and so decided to trade him to Philadelphia, get a fifth-round pick in return. They had to give up a seventh-round pick to make that trade work. And so it's just a matter of readjusting. And it was inevitable. They thought maybe they can squeeze it out another year, but they weren't able to squeeze it out another year. So there's going to be probably 10 changes in the starting lineup. That's going to be different, but hey, that's just the nature of having a nice run, but they're not conceding anything yet.
Okay, well, as a fan, that kind of leaves me a little bit skeptic about what next season's going to look like. I know you talked about it to the caller before about what do you think we're going to do next year. Are we going to be contenders or pretenders?
I think they can still be a playoff team, but I think you have to say that right now the division probably is going to the Rams. I mean, the Rams are ramping up. I mean, they pick up Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters. They've got two shutdown cornerbacks. Their offense was sensational last year, but you can't concede this team because, again, it's got a great coach, a great general manager, a great quarterback, and they still have some very good defensive players.
We're going to be more offensive-minded this year?
We'll see. I think ultimately they'll try to get the defense. Because, again, I mean, the defense, I think, you saw the preview of coming attractions as you watched the last half of the season. I mean, because what you saw was that they weren't as dominant, but they still were passable. I mean, they weren't a 16-point-a-game defense. They were a 20-point-a-game defense. They had times where they had some breakdowns, but, now it's a matter of finding the right guys to kind of reload. And so you take a step back, so maybe you're a wild card team this year. Maybe next year, if you get everything right, you can get back to being a Super Bowl contender. But remember, I mean, this is going to be the challenge, and that's why they've got eight draft choices. They still have room under the cap now. They can try to do some things. I don't think they're going to be big players in free agency, but now it's back to trying to find the players that now can replace the players that got them to Super Bowls.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun spring. I'm going to be following it not as closely as you, but I'm going to be following it.
It's going to be fascinating. I agree with that.
Yeah, well, thank you for taking my call, John.
Okay, hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Colin in Mukilteo. Hey, Colin.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I just wonder why you think the Hawks haven't won. It seems like the Marshawn Lynch type.
What was that again?
I was wondering why you think that the Hawks haven't pursued LeGarrette Blount.
Well, they can't right now. I mean, free agency doesn't start till Wednesday.
Okay.
I mean, they could do it, but they're going to lose a draft choice because then you're cheating on the system. Now, everybody cheats in the system, but you can't get caught. But, I mean, you can't go for LeGarrette Blount. He's an unrestricted free agent, and you can start talking to him on Monday, but you can't start doing anything till Wednesday.
Okay. Do you see them going after him?
I tend to think not. I think they'll go a different direction. I think because again, if they're going to lose seven free agents, they can probably pay, two or three in the $2 million, $1 million range. I mean, that's still possible, but they've got to preserve as much as they can to get the compensatory picks for 2019. And so the higher they pay, the more they have a chance of losing that. And I don't think they want to do that. I think, would you be better served? What would you rather have? LeGarrette Blount, DeMarco Murray, Latavius Murray, Doug Martin, Jonathan Stewart.
Oh, LeGarrette Blount. He's the closest thing to Marshawn Lynch.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, Marshawn Lynch is a borderline Hall of Fame player, and LeGarrette Blount's a player that right now that gets about $1.2 million a year.
Yeah. But he's the guy that'll drop the shoulder and just run somebody over like Lynch did.
That he can do, no question about that. That's why they can't do anything. I mean, free agency hasn't started, and so they don't have the ability to talk to him yet.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Cool. Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Rick in Twin Lakes. Hey, Rick.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning.
It's been a while since I called, but I had to call today because a couple of my favorite players got released.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Sherman and, of course, Michael Bennett.
Yeah.
My other favorite guy was Marshawn Lynch. And you can never say that the Seahawks did not treat their veteran players properly. They carried Lynch for another season. They traded Michael Bennett to a Super Bowl champ when they actually had a better offer from the Patriots. And they released Sherman early to give mm-hmm. him a chance to catch on with another team.
Yeah.
I mean, and the players that are still on the team, they recognize that. If you treat the veteran guys badly, they're going to look at your team and say, like, why the heck should I sacrifice for these guys? Because I know they're just going to shortchange me, you know?
Right.
But Seahawks were a class organization. And speaking of class, the statement that Sherman made when he was released, you know, that was a good way to leave. You know, you leave everybody happy, you know,
mm-hmm.
no bad feelings whatsoever.
Well, and also, I mean, you would figure he's not going to come back, but it left the door open with the way he handled it and the way he said it that he could come back. I mean,
maybe
again,
one day.
Yeah. I mean, let's say, for example, I don't know what offer that. Let's say that they said, will you take a pay cut from 11 to, let's say, $7 million? If he can't get $7 million, that offer, I'm sure, can still stand. And if so, then he could come back. I'd say it's unlikely. I'd say that the odds are 5% that it would happen. But, you know, at least that option still remains.
Yeah, but it's like we said, it's just strictly business.
Mm-hmm.
Having said all that, I still think we're going to be competitive. But like you said, there has been a talent drain. We burned some draft picks last year on Brown and on Richardson. And I'd like to see both of those guys remain with the Hawks next year. I think we got Brown for another year.
They do, yeah.
And Richardson, I would love to see him being played at defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be a good stop against the run, and we know that he's got speed. He can move those legs, and he would put pressure on the quarterback.
Right.
And we just have to worry about getting some guys inside. We still got our linebacker crew.
Well, I think the inside, I mean, they're right now better on the inside than they are the outside because, I mean, you lose Averill and Bedard on the outside. You have Clark, Deion Jordan, and
right.
That's about it. I mean, at least
I have high hopes with Deion Jordan.
Yeah.
Linebacker crew, if we can manage to bring back Bruce Irving, which we don't know if the Raiders are going to cut him, but then it's the secondary. I'd like to see him bring back a couple of guys on defense. We drafted four defensive backs last year, and maybe it's time to play them and coach them up like we did with Sherman and the crew that came through, you know, about 7 years before.
Mm-hmm. That's, I think, one of the most interesting decisions to make is that do you go with bring Bradley McDougal back, or do you just take the chance and see what you got in Delano Hill?
Exactly. Now, one of the big reasons why a lot of these defensive players got beat up is because the amount of time they were on the field.
Mm-hmm.
What made the Seahawks rise was a running back and an offensive line. And we lost our running back in Lynch, and there was a talent drain on the offensive line that was never really replaced. Now, Luke Joko was a joke. I mean, and Afedi has been disappointing. I mean, how many times? I think he led the league in a penalty, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 21 penalties. Yeah,
he did. And he was never benched. We got to sit that guy down.
Uh-huh.
Talk to him. Slap him upside the head. Get his attention. You can't keep doing the same thing.
Right.
I would love to see him, Pothick, at right tackle. If he could gain about 25 pounds, play him at right tackle. And Jordan Ruse at right guard. And I still haven't given up on Odhiambo. I think he would be a good fit at left guard.
Mm-hmm.
But
Well, see, here's where I like your thinking, because everybody wants to just...
We've got a good offensive coach.
Yeah, well, see, this is where I like your thinking, Rick, is that everybody says, oh, go get offensive linemen, get offensive linemen. Well, they've done that. Okay,
yeah.
Do they have the wrong ones? Well, it didn't work out last year, but they do have enough, because they've invested almost an entire draft in the last year or so on this offensive line. I mean, they traded a second to get Dwayne Brown. They got 2 seconds in Posick and in Justin Britt. I mean, they got a first in Ifedi, a third in Odhiambo. They had a fourth in Glowinski. I mean, they've invested a lot on this offensive, a fifth for Matt Tobin. I mean, it's like, okay, it didn't work out, but it doesn't necessarily mean that everything is, I mean, because they went and got guys. It didn't work out. Maybe they got the wrong guys, but now they're trying a different offensive line coach to see if they have enough. And so work
it's
with
like
them.
Giving all the money to Tom Cable, tell him to go buy a car, and he comes back with an Edsel every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we like you said, we got the guys. We need to coach them up. They went out and they changed coaches. And I'm looking forward to next year. I'm a Seahawks fan through and through. I've been a season ticket holder, for years. And like I said, I'm a loyal guy, and I'll be there in the stands next season.
Well, there you go. Rick, good job.
All right.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Derek in Puyallup. Hey, Derek.
Yeah, hey, John. My question is if for some reason we do somehow get Richard Sherman back, say for $6, $7 million, mm-hmm. could he still file his grievance and – still hit us for the whole?
No, because he could file, but then he can drop it. I mean, because again, it would be 5.5 against the cap, and there's an injury protection right now. It'd be like 10% of his salary or something like that. I mean, like 1.15, but that'd be a wash if once he signs with another team, and he's going to get more than $1 million. So I think it, and again, it's up to him to be able to. I think what he's got to do is assess how it looks in free agency, because if, let's say, for example, anything over 5.5 million is going to wipe out anything on the grievance, and he'll drop the grievance because now it's like it's over. But I don't think that's going to be too much of an issue right now. But he has the freedom to do it.
So the grievance isn't on top of what he already will get as a salary.
Well, right now he gets no salary. I mean, he's got the ability, if he can't land anything, to get about a 1.15, and if he gets, files the grievance, then it's going to eat up 5.5 of cap room. But again, I don't think they're at that stage yet.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Okay. Hey, Derek, thank you.
John.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to David in Lacey. Hey, David. Oh, we don't have David. Let's go to Christian. Hey, Christian.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Well, thank you.
Kind of a sad day. Sad weekend with all the changes that are going on. I totally get why John and Pete did it. It makes sense. I would have loved to see Sherman, because I think Sherman would have been the number two cornerback this year if he wasn't healthy. I think Shaq is that much better.
I don't know if I go that far, but because you don't know how he's going to recover, and how good he was when he's there. I mean, he's still the number one guy shutting down the right side. I don't know if they would.
Yeah, it would have been cool to see him. I mean, if he comes back from his injury, which I think he will, just as good or almost as good with a solid cornerback like Shaq, but obviously we're not going to get to see that. I would love to see him go to the Niners and us play him two times a year.
Uh-huh.
I think it would just be a blast to see that. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, do you think that's a realistic possibility? He's down in SF right now.
That was the first move. The thing that I would imagine, just knowing him, and I do know him enough, I think he's thinking more Super Bowl than build-up team. But again, I think that he could add the rivalry factor of coming back and playing Seattle. I think that could be something that plays into it. But I think first off, he's got to assess what. And again, if you know what he thinks about Jimmy Garoppolo, then you kind of know which way he might go on this. Because, again, he's a big believer in good quarterbacks, and if he believes in Garoppolo, then he thinks there might be a chance.
So what do you think with this first-round pick? You think they're going to go after someone and try to get hit on a Shaquille Griffin-type guy again and get another cornerback for the other side?
No, I think they're going to try to trade down.
Just to get more picks, huh?
Yeah, they get more picks because right now they don't have a second or a third. And you think about this, it's like, okay, sure, it would be great to get Darius Geis. It would be nice to get Key, the pass-rushing defensive end. But also, then you have nothing in the second and third round. You're sitting there, you're not filling all your other needs.
And what about on offense? You think, it looks like we might lose Paul Rich. And now it looks like we don't have enough weapons for Russ anymore. Losing Jimmy Graham,
Well, remember they did address something when they took Amari Darbo in the third round.
You think he's going to pan out?
You never know. But all right, go back 2 years. What would you say about Paul Richardson?
Yeah, I think with Paul though, you kind of saw flashes there. He's so athletic, he's so fast, and he just kind of kept getting injured. With Darbo, man, he's only made like a catch or two that has been with any significance.
But he hasn't been on the field enough to make the catches. That's because, you know, they've got three or four other receivers ahead of him. It was no different than Richardson. Yeah. I mean, you know, and one of the things to understand, you know, the way that Darrell Bevell had the offense, it was hard for rookies to be able to pick up the offense and be productive in the first year. I mean, Doug Baldwin was able to do it. So was, you know, to a certain degree, Tyler Lockett, but maybe the other young receivers as rookies that were able to do too much.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
That's just a reality of coming into a West Coast offense. It just takes a little time.
What do you make of Curse's production this year? I mean, it was kind of a lot more productive than he ever was with Seattle. I mean, he was clutch as can be with Seattle, but he had some. He was almost a 1,000-yard receiver this year.
He had a great year, no doubt. I mean, but cool. You know, that's what you have to give to get value to get that to get the deal done with Sheldon Richardson, and you know that they were having Tyler Lockett and Paul Richardson move ahead of him, so you knew something was going to happen in that regard.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks for taking my call. I'm really excited. I think we're going to be pretty similar to next year, one or two games away. If we win those close games, we'll be in the playoffs. If not, kind of the same thing as this mm-hmm. year.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree with you. Thank you for the call.
All right. 866-979-ESPN,
206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to John in Ballard. Hey, John.
Hey, Professor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
You know, I'll miss Richard Sherman. He was a great player, but I think the Seahawks have to move on. And I hope that Schneider does his due diligence with this upcoming draft and finds some more young players that are of the caliber of a Cam Chancellor or a Richard Sherman or a Doug Baldwin.
Yeah, and I think that's what the plan is. And, of course, I mean, you knew, as John Schneider said at the Combine, this was a puzzle. And trying to fit the puzzle together was going to be difficult. It was going to make some tough decisions. And, you know, you don't know which way things were going to go. But now it's gone the direction that Richard Sherman's out. Earl Thomas remains in. We'll see about Sheldon Richardson, Michael Bennett out. Again, a lot of change, but you knew something was coming.
Yeah, I really hope, John, that they can sign Sheldon Richardson. I was going to get your thoughts on if you believe that Schneider had contacted Cleveland about trying to possibly acquire Danny Sheldon, because I think Bill Belichick pulled a fast one on Cleveland in acquiring Sheldon.
Yeah, but see, again, here's where the problem with that is that I think they're okay at defensive tackle, okay? Because remember, you know, they still have Jaron Reed, and they really like Nazir Jones. Those are two good young defensive tackles. My thinking on Sheldon Richardson, because remember, I mean, here's a guy that came over from a 3-4 defense, right? He was just getting comfortable being a 3-technique 4-3 defensive tackle. I still think that he's got enough outside pass rush that you can use him a little bit like Michael Bennett. Now, again, he's better on the inside than the outside, but I still think you can get a little bit of pass rush. I mean, he's had that experience because, remember, he went to the Pro Bowl with about 7 or 8 sacks back with the Jets.
Right, right. Let me ask something else, John, real quick, and thanks for your time. What do you think the number is going to be for Earl Thomas if they keep him in Seattle? And if they can't work out a deal, maybe do you foresee any chance they could trade him to the Cowboys to get a first-round pick or a third-round pick?
Again, I think that's where the problem is, because I think that you can see the way the trades are, because, you know, if you can get him to a deal, then yeah, maybe if you're in Dallas, then you maybe get, because I think they're unlikely to give up a first round pick. I think it's going to be more like a 2 and a 5, and I don't know if you do it for a 2 and a 5. That may just not be enough. I think the number is going to probably be 13.5 or 14. Now, that might be a little less than what he wants, but right now the highest paid safety is Eric Berry at 13, so the logical thing would be to just go a little step above that and put it at 13.5, you know, and, you know, make that work.
If Schneider can't trade down with the first round pick, would you focus on a running back, or would you focus on defensive backfield help?
I'd be intrigued by Key, the defensive end, who'd be the second best pass rusher in the draft. That would intrigue me. Or Darius Geis. the running back. But I don't have any doubt that Pete should be. I mean, that John should be able to trade down. I mean, that's a pretty valuable pick. I mean, at the very least, I mean, you can trade down from like 18 to 26 or so, get a third round pick, and you know, if you, and let's put it this way, if the quarterback is, this team's still looking for quarterbacks, and you got Lamar Jackson still available, then you might be able to get somebody to move up from the second round to give you a second round pick. So I think those options still remain. But you know, again, they've, because they need quality, but they also need some volume, because remember, yeah, you know, they've got 8 draft choices right now, but there's some real good picks you can get in the second and third round, and you don't want to be passing them up. It's almost,
well,
like,
I really hope, John, like you said, they get the quality, and you have a great day. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, and just to go back, John, over one thing. Remember, last year certainly was a disappointment to go down from 26 to 35, get Malik McDowell, and then Malik McDowell not being able to maybe be able to play in his career. But out of that, they still got 4 draft choices. And those 4 draft choices include Delano Hill, Chris Carson. You know, they got some pretty good guys after that. Let's go to Irish Mankey. Irish Mankey, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Clayton. Absolutely wonderful.
Well, that's good.
Hey, Mr. Clayton, does Mrs. Clayton get to listen to your show on Saturdays?
Yes.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Clayton. Get well and come home soon.
That would be great. I would love that.
Okay. Mr. Clayton, now about you. It is such a gorgeous day out here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to get some of that free vitamin D medicine today?
No, I will not today, because I've got to go out and see my wife.
Well, there's plenty of time in the day just to strap on those kicks and run around the neighborhood, isn't there?
That would be nice to do, but
somehow?
I got responsibilities.
Well,
I really do need to work out,
that.
There's no question.
But if you don't take care of yourself first, Mr. Clayton, you won't be able to take care of anybody else.
Well, I take it one step at a time. Priority is take care of the wife.
I live that same way, Mr. Clayton. No doubt. Well, Mr. Clayton, isn't this fantastic? We've got the battle of the general managers going on right now,
mm-hmm,
between the Cleveland Browns and the Seahawks.
It's fun to watch what John Dorsey's doing. It's been a blast.
Oh, he's on fire, Mr. Clayton.
I agree.
You know, that guy, they just must be going crazy there in Cleveland as far as what this man is doing for that city and that team.
I think they're genuinely excited. I would agree with that.
He's turned that franchise upside down and shaking it hard.
Well, again, it's like I'm not going to overdo what he's done, but I think you can see there's a plan there, and he's fixing things up. They needed a quarterback to get them to the next quarterback. Now they got Tyrod Taylor. You get a 100-catch receiver in Jarvis Landry. You know, you now get some more draft choice. You know, it's like they've got a lot of things going, and I think it's very positive.
Oh, it's fantastic. And you know what? Kaiser, God bless that kid. He got himself a great break, too, going to Green Bay.
True, because he'll be the backup quarterback.
If there's any chance for him to make it in the NFL, that's not a bad team to be on.
Nope, I would agree.
You know, smack him around a little and tell him to wake up and get busy, and he'll come out in the end pretty good, Mr. Clayton.
Mm-hmm. I think it's good. So, yeah, Kaiser goes to the Green Bay Packers, so interesting move.
It's a great move for the Packers and Kaiser.
Mm-hmm.
He'll have a few years to learn under the best coach and watch that fantastic Hall of Fame quarterback.
And then see if he can get free agency in a couple years and get out of there. We'll see.
Well,
yeah.
Who knows? That's way off. Today is what's important, Mr. Clayton,
that's
and
right.
It's a beautiful, beautiful day.
Irish, thank you for the
Mr.
phone call.
Clayton, say this all go away.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to John in Puyallup. Hey, John.
Mr. Clayton, good morning. Right on the heels of Irish Mickey.
How about that?
That's a great segue. Hey, I do have, I'm excited for the Packers season coming up. I think with our new GM that he's making some aggressive moves. One concern that I do have that I haven't heard much about is the tight end issue. And I know that you'd been a favor of maybe seeing Mr. Graham heading that direction. And then on the other side of recent news is the rumor, at least with Mr. Bakhtiari over there with the Lions, to try to do some influencing on getting Mr. Sherman over there. What's your thoughts on those two ends?
Well, I do think that there's no question they're going to be more aggressive, and you already have Muhammad Wilkerson in there. I don't know if that's a good move or a bad move, but I think that there's no question that Richard. I think there is interest in Richard Sherman because they've had such problem at the cornerback position. I mean, he'd be a perfect guy to help teach Kevin King and some of the young guys that they have there. So I think that he jumped for San Francisco first because I think it's close and West Coast. I don't know how Richard would want to be as far as being in the cold weather in Green Bay, but I do know Richard well enough that the idea of being with A-Rod, as he would call him, Aaron Rodgers, he knows then if he can do a good job, then they have a chance to get to the Super Bowl, and that's one of his big missions. That's one of the things I think that frustrated him the most the last couple of years. He saw a roster that he thought was slipping, maybe not as much as he thought, but he thought it was slipping, and he thought it was taking away his chances to get to the Super Bowl. So I think that the Packers definitely would be in the mix.
So I guess the only other question then comes into the salary cap side and where the Packers are. They're not the most healthiest right now.
Yeah, but they've got enough room. I mean, because they always tend to leave enough room. If they need to do something, they can do something. So that I don't think is a big issue whatsoever.
See,
and again, what you're talking about is a one-year deal.
Right. Yeah. Do you see them addressing any of this also in the draft coming up as far as what they're anticipated picks might be?
Yeah, I think so, because in fact a lot of people think they may just take a corner in the first round. I don't know, that might be a little bit much, but it's a good cornerback draft, and so if you're looking for cornerbacks, I mean, this is a good year to be able to do it, and they just have to get the right ones.
Right on. Hey, thank you, Mr. Professor.
Thank you.
Appreciate your input as usual. I'm
okay.
Excited.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN coming up. Talk to Greg Bell of the Tacoma News Tribune. Lots to talk about with the Seahawks. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.